avísame.
Así, okay. Es capaz de volver soon. And then once they have set up, you are welcome to take your coffee and some refreshments. My name is Chris Nabil, for those who are here for the first time. I'm the portfolio chair of the committee. I'm going to request members also to introduce themselves. I'm from Gauteng Province.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Masala Ntombela, member of the committee. I am from the Free State.
Lweni, igama lami ngumayina lesoma oyilunga lale komiti ngokuhlalisala eKZN. Enkosi.
Good morning, my name is Marvin Dux. I'm a member of the committee. I am from Minor Province, KZN.
Thank you, Chair. This is Yamatoko Mutau from Gauteng Province. I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning. I'm Yek Mare. I'm from the week that is the base of Eastern Guide Sangu.
Goeiemôre, Andrikus van Westhuizen en ek is van die Weskaap.
Bring Wilma Nieuwe-Druggen, member of the committee, and my service today is Herman Panswitz from the Western Cape.
Okay, I'm also going to request the DG to make a quick introduction of his entourage.
Thank you. My name is Sidibe Maduna. I'm the Secretary of National Planning and Acting Deputy General of the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. I'm accompanied by the Head of the Office of the DG, Mr. Clement Matali, and the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Peter Pretorius. They will assist me in our discussions today. In fact, I'm specifically going to ask Peter to present the financial information from our presentation. Thank you. Zungisile Pagati, where is he? He's coming in. I think he's a feature of this institution. So I don't think he needs any introduction.
Okay. We have set SA as well. We have NYPA, please introduce.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Committee. My name is Wasim Karim. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the National Youth Development Agency. I am representing my principal, the CEO. Unfortunately, he took ill this morning and could not be here. So I'm presenting on his behalf.
Morning, Chair. The host was Parish in general, and accompanied by Senator Maruleg, Deputy Director General, responsible for statistical outreach. The CFO is behind me, Peggy Matuda, leave. Communications Manager, Trevor Manuel. Trevor Utenay. Yes. Jan Dizampeken is acting DDG for the National Statistics System. Tavi Singh Mahata is Deputy Director General for Methodology and Standards. Lakolo is acting Deputy Director General responsible for Information Technology with CIA Youngster. Kifiro Masiken is Deputy Director General for Population and Social Statistics. George Yeh is Deputy Director General for Economic Statistics. I leave the Chair of Council, Mr. Ben Pasele, the very head person there to introduce himself. Let him pass.
I'm Ben Pasele, the Chairperson of the South African Statistics Council. expecting the deputy chair to be here, but I don't know what actually is holding him back.
I see, Madam Chair, that the CID clerk, who is head of strategy, is the chair that's below everybody else, and that she couldn't be seen. Celia, rise to be seen.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, parliamentary staff.
Celia Sumaype, supporting this portfolio committee. Longe Fiela, committee researcher. Thank you.
Malanzo Mule from committee support.
All right, thank you. You're all welcome. I have few apologies before me. I have an apology from the minister in the Presidency Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, Mr. Jeff Hadebe. I have an apology from Honorable Buti Manamela, who is the Deputy Minister of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. I have an apology from Advocate Minister Mwakwama Sodi, who is the Minister for Public Service and Administration. I also have an apology from the CEO of NYDA, Mr. Katura Mkumba, who will not be able to join us today because of ill health. Okay, all right. Those are the few apologies. Are there any apologies? Members? Oh,
thank you.
Honorable Lovemore? Is she writing exams?
No, she's attending another meeting and she submitted her apology.
Okay, alright. Honorable Mwabe, he will be joining the meeting later. Thank you. Where is Nami and Matubaza?
You haven't received any indication of ENAF, which I thought they sent to you as a local committee.
All right. Because tomorrow there's supposed to be a follow-up meeting and we need a quorum for that meeting. So they have to be here. We need to be sure that they will be present. Ndate Maduna, over to you. I can see the structure for the presentation. Today we just deal with one agenda item. It's briefing by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, Statistics South Africa and National Youth Development Agency on the Annual Performance Plan 2016-2017 financial year. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. We prepared a presentation that also includes just a quick recap on the strategic plan of the department, the letter of invitation did also include the strategic plan, but because our strategic plan is a document that was submitted last year and covers the period to 2020, we will not spend too much time on it. So I will just quickly go through some of the key aspects, some of the key elements of our strategic plan just for as a refresher, and try to use the rest of the time on the strategic plan of the department. By way of introduction, as I indicated, our strategic plan is intended to align our work with the vision of the National Development Plan 2030, where we see our role as directing implementation of the plan and monitoring the website. Those parts of government, those structures of government that have that are implementing agencies are performing. We also, as part of this, we also put together a medium-term strategic framework, and the current MTSF is from 2014 to 2018, it's a five-year implementation plan for the NDP. We evaluate key government programs to determine that they are aligned with the NDP, and we also monitor the delivery of departments in respect of citizens. We identify bottlenecks, and when necessary, we implement interventions. It is our intention going forward that because we can't monitor everything in government, that we focus our activities on the priority policies, priority plans and programs of government, so that we ensure that we make as great a contribution as possible to achieving the goals of the NP. Although our strategic plan hadn't changed, we have embarked upon an exercise of reviewing that strategy, and this is based on feedback we are getting from the executive through cabinet, and I know that this committee too has raised the issue to say that it's not enough to monitor and diagnose problems with regard to implementation. We need to shift towards, to the extent possible, also identifying specific interventions and where necessary and where possible to intervene. And so there are instances where we are doing this. For example, in regard to the problem of non-payment of suppliers in 30 days, which is a statutory requirement in terms of the PSMA, what we do to try and introduce some change and improvement in that area, we now call all the parties, the suppliers, and we call the departments responsible. We put it together in a room, we discuss what are the issues, what is the problem, and so we are making some progress in regard to that. That's one example. So the whole philosophy of the monitoring that we do, we're hoping to shift so that we strengthen this intervention capacity of the department. And it's, we are pleased that this direction is possible now, because we now have additional resources that we didn't have before. Our budget has been increased, and so we will be bringing new capacity in the department. Currently, the structure of the department has 340 posts, which is a small department relative to the mandate that we have. But with additional resources, we will increase over the medium term the posts in the department to 500. Our budget will increase from 754.2 million rand, and that's the correct number, 754.2 million, in the financial year 2015-16 to just under a billion, that is 994.2 million, in 2018-2019. For this current financial year that started the beginning of this month, our budget is 827.6. Of course, as members will be aware, that also includes a transfer to the NYDA. The next set of slides is speaks to the mandate of the department, and then just to recap, the mandate of the department is really based on what the Constitution says about the responsibility of the President. The department is located within the presidency, or at least originates within the presidency as a structure to support the president in his exercise of executive authority, together with the cabinet, to amongst others, to develop and implement national policy and coordinate the functions of state departments and administrations to pursue the objectives and the aspirations of the constitution of the country. There are several documents where this mandate was elaborated on. Some of them have actually served in Parliament. For example, the policy framework on performance monitoring and evaluation, as well as the revised green paper on national planning that underpinned the work of the National Planning Commission. I probably shall say something about in a moment. In terms of this mandate, we seek to facilitate the development of long-term and medium-term plans around the priorities and outcomes that government has identified. And as members will be aware, the medium-term strategic framework is built around 14 outcomes. But we also assess the strategic plans and annual performance plans of departments. We, between ourselves and National Treasury, have agreed that this function of regulating strategic plans, regulating annual performance plans, should be best performed by the department, and that way we are able to ensure that those plans reflect the priorities of government, the priorities as articulated in the National Development Plan and the Medium-Term Strategic Framework. We do various monitoring activities through a number of tools, such as, for example, monitoring of frontline service delivery, monitoring management practices in national and provincial government departments. And we hope to be able to establish a culture and a community of practice on monitoring and evaluation in government, that way to continuously help to improve implementation and performance. The four key thrusts in this regard. The one is to strengthen the links between planning in government and monitoring and evaluation. Because we have found, as we do from evaluations, that some of the problems, the root causes of poor implementation, of poor outcomes, are traced back to planning weaknesses in the area of planning. But also we need to be focusing on impact in regard to citizens. The emphasis has to be not so much on inputs, on our activities, but on what we are achieving as government. I'm talking about supporting implementation and monitoring and evaluation. So in regards to planning, there are certain weaknesses in planning, certain gaps which we hope to address, as well as promoting coordination. There are still challenges, extensive challenges in regard to coordination, as well as in regard to responsiveness of government to the need of the party. And the whole issue of 30-day payments is a good example of that. We organize our work in terms of five programs, first one being administration, where the intention really is to ensure that we comply with legislation and that we continue to strive to high standards of governance in government, starting with our own department. Members will be aware we have maintained a track record of clean audits. It's a track record that I hope to continue as the head of the department going forward. I come with that track record in departments that I have served in, Department of Trade and Industry, Department of Public Enterprises. All of those departments are leading with regard to at least clean audits. And clean audits, Chair and members, as we know, clean audit is a key indicator of good governance. It's not necessarily a representation of everything or the state of perfection, but at least in regard to those areas that the audit agenda looks at in relation to a clean audit, we do fully comply. Program 2 is really the core work of this department, and I'll focus in that area of the core work, the core programs, which is starting with the activities around outcomes, monitoring, as well as evaluation, as well as in Program 3, the focus on the performance of government departments, monitoring specific programs, and Program 4, where we do around planning, which, as I've indicated, is to integrate, ensure with that planning is integrated, both in regard to short-term and medium and long-term time frames, promote policy coherence, all of us to support the National Development Plan. And from this program, we also support the work of the National Planning Commission. Program 5 looks to youth development and youth empowerment. We are therefore the focal point in government with regard to youth policy and strategies for dealing with the needs and challenges that confront young people in our country. Chair, the rest of the slides are details of these programs. I will not spend time. I want to go straight into the annual performance plan. If I may. And there we start with some further elaboration on what we plan to do in regard to our annual performance plan going forward, starting with outcomes monitoring. So we have been seized with the medium-term strategic framework for a while now, and the experience we have learned through that is that some of the indicators that are there do need revising, either because some of them were pitched too low or because they have been achieved. And so there is a current process that will be continuing in this year to revise some of the indicators in the MSF, as well as the delivery agreements that are concluded between departments that are responsible for different aspects of deliverables, different aspects of the outcomes that are targeted, as well as the agreements that are concluded with the President. The situation changes, new challenges emerge, and therefore it is important that we are continually reviewing and revising to make sure that these outcomes, indicators are relevant. We produce regular reports against the targets that have been identified by departments, for example, in respect of paying suppliers within 30 days, work around revitalization of mining towns, as well as assessments of municipalities, the whole state of governance and capacity of municipalities. It's an area that we focus on. We report on a regular basis. The work of the CSSA is very helpful because through CSSA we are able to deploy evidence to confirm that we are achieving or not achieving, and therefore help us to refine our interventions and that way to also inform policies. We are establishing a data net center that will hopefully give us some major data bundles or clusters of data that we will be able to deploy in critical areas to ensure that we are making progress. For example, with regard to economic growth, GDP, employment, as well as a range of other sectoral indicators. This work is started in the department. We will be the host of this data and health center. We also produce a document that's called Development Indicators, the last one which was produced last year, which also tracks how we are doing as a country against a range of key development indicators. This work will also enable us to interface with the work of the United Nations on the Sustainable Development Goals, as well as the Agenda 23 of the African Union, and I am sure the Secretary General will, because he's involved on our behalf with developing those indicators to enable us to measure progress we're making. Operation Pakiza, you will have seen the President last week went to some of the projects under Operation Pakiza, as it relates to the so-called ocean economy. We also have Operation Pakiza in the area of health, the Ideal Clinic, in the area of education, and there's Operation Pakiza that is going to be launched in this year in the area of agriculture and land reform. The methodology, members will be aware, is intended to bring together with a view to accelerating implementation, key departments, leveraging on interdependencies, which don't necessarily naturally arise due to a changed silo culture of departments in government. We're very pleased with the results of this methodology, and we hope that as we implement and monitor this methodology, we will achieve positive results. We are required to implement what is called a socio-economic impact assessment of key policies, key legislation. So if a department proposes a piece of policy or piece of legislation or any regulation, we are now required to subject it to the assessment to see that it has not had unintended consequences. And even the department referred to the recent problem challenge with the visa requirements, because that was not subjected to any impact assessment. Had it been subjected to an impact assessment, I'm sure we would have been able to identify what later proved to be negative, unintended consequences of the visa, the proposed visa regime. As we are aware, there is work now on trying to revise those visa requirements. We do briefings to cabinet in regard to cabinet memorandum that are submitted by government departments just to assist with identifying key issues and again, to make sure that all of these do not result in unintended consequences. So that decisions that cabinet made on these levels are properly informed. We support provinces in doing their own evaluations, and we conduct research on critical government programs to improve their implementation. Programs three, institutional performance monitoring. The key activity here is the MPET, the application of the MPET tool, which assesses management practices on a number of dimensions, a number of indicators. We also assist directors general and heads of departments with their performance agreements and ensure that these performance agreements reflect government priorities. We monitor the quality of services that are provided to citizens through frontline monitoring activities. It's an area which, as I indicated at the beginning, Chair, that we are hoping to strengthen and to expand with the resources that we have been allocated. We maintain the presidential hotline as a complaints management system within government, through which we have addressed and escalate different concerns from members of the party with regard to work of government. It's a very useful tool, fairly effective. However, it does have challenges. And currently, I'm engaging with CETA because it's built on CETA platform, and there are some issues with that platform that I'm hoping to resolve with my counterparts at CETA. We hope to roll out capacity building and knowledge management initiatives. When we were last year talking about MPED, members did urge that we look at how we work with departments that are found to have weaknesses in particular areas. And so I've already started to engage with the School of Government with a view to designing a course on leadership of the professional core in the public space. But many of the problems that MPET has diagnosed are due to leadership weaknesses. In Program 4 on planning, we support the work of the National Planning Commission, principally with research, as well as coordinating activities and helping them to interface with government where necessary. The new Planning Commission was appointed towards the end of last year, I think, October thereabouts, and they've been involved with setting up shop, getting their show off the ground, identifying priority focus areas, and I'm sure members will be keen to engage with the work of that commission in the course of this year. A major research we are participating in, supported by the University of Cape Town, as well as the SSA, is work around the INCA dynamic studies, which is a long-term, so-called longitudinal study of income dynamics in our country to help us see how income distribution changes over time, and that way enabling us to identify where to intervene with regard to poverty, our poverty programs, poverty alleviation programs. We are working with the National Treasury with regard to review the budget to ensure that the budget is aligned to priorities of government. And so the last budget that the Minister of Finance announced in February reflected work that we did with the National Treasury to ensure that it's really in a fiscally constrained environment that we still manage to resource key priorities. There's a document on planning in government, a discussion document that we're consulting with, consulting on government departments to enable us to identify areas where we need to reform planning practices in government. We provide secretariat and technical support to the NPC. We assess departmental plans we have referred to, NAPPs, to ensure that they are aligned with MTS priorities. With regard to youth development, we are in the process of developing a monitoring tool for assessing the work of departments on youth and how the work of departments impact on youth development. The whole idea is to ensure that we mainstream youth development in the work of departments, that we are purposefully and consciously targeting activities that have an impact on youth. So a number of people are aware, we developed a youth policy, and now we are in the process of developing a strategy to implement that policy. So there are a number of activities that will be undertaken in this year in regard to that. In this area, we also exercise oversight over the work of the NYDA, and that way to be able to transfer the budget. There are certain requirements imposed by National Treasury about the circumstances and the conditions under which a transfer to an entity will be permitted. The NYDA have to comply with those requirements for us to be able to effect these transfers on an ongoing basis. The next slide is the organogram of the department as it currently stands. It's very self-explanatory. I'm not going to speak too much to that. I will move to the capacity of the department, looking at the approved cost as at the end of December, as well as posts that are filled, and that indicates what the vacancy rate of the department is. At this point, Chair, I'm going to hand over to Ms. Pretorius to take us through financial information and additional sources and how we hope to deploy these resources going forward.
Thank you, DG, Chairperson, Honourable Members. As you are aware, the function of the Ministry and the Deputy Ministry was transferred to DME during the previous financial year, which led to an increase in our budget from 717 million to 754 million. During the previous financial year, we spent 98.4% of our allocated budget if we exclude NYDA transfers, or 99.3% if we include NYDA transfers. Next slide, please. The next two slides provide an overview of how we spent the budget with regard relative to the drawings or our original projections. And as you can see, we were more or less on target with a little bit less in quarter one, and then slightly more in quarters two, three, and four than our original projections. The next slide simply provides the same information in a little bit more detail. Our expenditure pattern for 2015-16, as you can see, our expenditure on compensation was more or less 52% of our total expenditure. Then after that followed expenditure on professional services, which I split into two. Payments for professional services, excluding NIFs, which was 9.3% of our budget, and if we add the National Income Dynamic Study, which was a further 6%. And then our main cost drivers is listed in descending order in this table, with the last one, other, including quite a number of small items, and I didn't want to include all of them. That would have made it impossible to put all the information on the slide. Our 2016-17 budget allocations, the department has allocated additional funding over the MTEF. A small amount for that was intended to cover higher than expected cost of living increases, but the majority of that was intended to increase the capacity of the department to be able to deliver on all the APP targets that the DG has explained earlier. Our budget for 2016-17, the current financial year, was increased by 54.8 million rand. 5 million rand of that is allocated specifically for an evaluation on business incentives involving DTI and DST. The remainder was to be allocated for the department's increased capacity. Then over the next 2 years, the next year is 87.1 million and the third year of the NTF, MDSF, 126 million rand. We expect that the post-establishment of the department will increase from the current 342 posts in the current financial year or last financial year to around 500 by the end of the next financial year. The allocation that we received for the current financial year has already been allocated. We will allocate the allocations for the remainder of the two years of the MTSF once we completed our strategic review process. Of that, 5.5 million was increased capacity in communications units. 5 million will be used in the current financial year to lease additional office accommodation. As we expand, we obviously need to provide office space for those new employees. 10 million rand was to fund the shortfall on the National Income Dynamic Study budget. 5 million, as I indicated, was opened by Treasury specifically for evaluation. And then 29.5 million will be to create 50 new posts in the current financial year, with 1 in administration, 13 in the outcomes program, 11 in the institutional monitoring program, 4 in planning, and 1 in youth. On the next slide, gives an indication of the change in allocation between the previous financial year and the current financial year. You'll see that for the three core branches, the change was more or less the same. There was a significant increase in administration, primarily related to expenditure we hope to incur in the current financial year, like it's a new office accommodation, additional IT equipment we need to purchase to accommodate the increase in staff, and also we will need to outsource some of the human resource functions in the current financial year to help with the recruitment drive for the additional staff. That would be once-off expenditure, and it's not expected to repeat in the future. So our compensation of employees will increase by 20% over last year. Goods and services 14, and we'll see there's a huge increase percentage-wise at least, although in monetary terms, a 70 million rand increase in capital expenditure. That's primarily for IT equipment, for a new building, and also for additional staff. In conclusion, I think, Gigi, this is back to you.
Thank you. Chair, I think that concludes the presentation. Perhaps just to recap some of the key points I'm making, is to say that so we have developed tools to fulfill our mandate, which will expand and be strengthened with the resources that we have been able to get. This is a journey, it's a step in progress. And as I said, we hope to optimize those resources to focus on key priorities going forward. I'm going to leave it there, and we can have a discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Matuna. Before I open for clarity-seeking questions and comments, I want to welcome our new member of the committee, Member Velma Newvot. Did I say it correctly? Okay, you're welcome. Dr. Matuna, you must have matter to the presentation is 4 points very slow. I want us to adopt that style when we present. We must speak very slow so that we accommodate the interpreter. Also welcome. Welcome to the interpreter also. Okay, thank you very much. You know how I define monitoring and evaluation. The last time I said it is the heart of public service. I still maintain that. And I think you're working together with CFSA. CFSA will come in as a bit. The heart is starting to function now. So the heart got functions. So you have a heart. Now you have a beat. Until you get to this presentation, members will understand what am I talking about. The first issue, your vacancy rate, it's not satisfactory. As a lead department, we would want you to do better. I'm sure you can do better on that. Please, we need a commitment that in the next presentation, you should be telling us a positive story on that. If you can also tell us what has been done so far with regard to newly established unit to track payments of suppliers, does the department have capacity to cover all offices of state? And also, at what point are you going to move towards local government? Because that's where we have most complaints about service providers that are not paid on time. We welcome the increase of the budget, finally. At least you are moving towards what comes of 900 million? Eh? You are moving towards the billion. The only sad thing is that there's no increase for NYDA. So I would assume that the increase will still contribute towards the administration. Is that so? Okay, which is not something that I want to hear. I want a department that will move towards legal. It should be towards the contribution of service delivery. But I know that you need to beef up your staff. I know that you've been operating on a small scale of staff, and as a result, you are unable to achieve some of your targets. We are also pleased about the fact that you are moving towards reviewing the department strategy. You are no longer going to be based on identifying challenges and a lack of implementation thereof, but you are moving towards intervention and also finding ways of intervening and solutions. So we are pleased about that. Let's talk about planning. By all means, in whatever you do, please continue to support the work of the National Planning Commission. At some point, we'll have to invite them to the committee to come and present to us the work that they do on a daily basis. Dr. Madula, I mean, I think it's fair for all of us, 24 years in government, we shouldn't be lacking on coordination and planning. We really need to strengthen that unit. A lack of or poor response of government department, that's what you said. How deep is that problem and how does it affect self-delivery? In fact, given the fact that we also have newly established departments, for an example, the small business department, in every way I go, I get people wanting to know who to contact, how to improve their businesses. You know, everybody's talking about the economy and unemployment is a key challenge now. And I also want to know your role in terms of supporting especially newly developed departments. For now, I want us to use the small business department. If you have any working relationship with them, please do share with us. Let me pause for now. Allow members also to make comments, and then I'll come back again. Okay. Member Derek?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to find out regarding Program 3 in your presentation. Point 3 involves citizens in monitoring of government services at selected facilities, including presidential hotline. The issue is the issue that I want to raise about the presidential hotline. I remember that last year, members of this committee raised the issue about this presidential hotline, that they cannot get through to this presidential hotline. And we asked the committee, we asked the department to look into it. In fact, one member of the committee even dialed the number while we committee, and it was just really lucky there was not the station was not recorded. Now, I just want to hear if you'll address the problem of people actually picking up the phones on the presidential hotline, because you don't want to find a situation where we go into a budget debate and a member on live television phone this hotline and it just rings with no one picking up. That's the one issue. The second issue is that we have always maintained that the problem where we face the real problem is that the face of delivery, the cold face of delivery, which is local government. And we really want the department to hone in and focus on the problems regarding service delivery at the local government level. Now, I see that in program in your key focus areas for 2016-2017, you are saying you want to use the local government management improvement model to monitor the municipalities. I want to monitor. Last time when I had you over collecting such municipalities that you're going to monitor, and you're saying focus on all municipalities in the country. Focus on all the municipalities in the country. Monitor each municipality. So that's really, it's not just the national departments where we have the problem. National departments running through, although the media will give a totally different view that we are failing and we are incompetent people, but if the media can really report the truth about how the cadres that are deployed in the nation, the cadres that are deployed at national government level, they are very, very competent and effective and efficient. They know what they are doing. The problem lies at local government. And that's national department, I think we need to focus at local government, try and get right with local government. The service delivery is really, really high happening. So that's where we must focus a lot on. Thank you.
Let me do this. Brent Umbrella. My name is Soma. I wanted to say comrade. Okay. But then Mutau. This is it? Okay. Alright, in the order.
Thank you very much, Chair. The presentation is much appreciated by the Duna. On the responsiveness of government to the need of the public, in particular the 30-day payment, this unit mentioned the fact that parties are involved and suppliers and contractors and so on. What I want to check is what are the main problems inhibiting the effectiveness or the reduction of this program in the provinces, and in which province is this program of a failure to pay people within the stipulated time most prevalent? On the question of the revitalization of mining towns and labor and incentives, are there any concrete examples that could be cited besides Marikana that are as a direct result of your monetary exercise and evaluation. Somewhere in the presentation by the CFO, mention is made of 56 posts on which recruitment is going to be done. I wish we could have a plan stated what our recruitment strategy is going to be. That is in regard to gender parity, employment of the disabled, so that we target the presidential obligation of the 2% employment of the disabled people. My last two questions to share would be, in cases where delivery agreements have not been honored by senior management services, has there been any serious steps taken to rectify the situation, and what disciplinary steps have these been? Lastly, Chair, what tangible results have been achieved since the inception of Operation Partisan? What tangible results can put forward? And how many actual jobs have been created? And how much is the return on investment on the project so far? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and Honourable Chair, and also appreciating the midterm report in terms of the incoming Asia year, obviously already in 2016-17. Probably let me start by also commending that you have also done a good job in terms of finding yourself between the bootstraps and the traders, as you've managed to get that additional money. So at least we do appreciate our role that we do oversight, not to ask on that behalf that we must get done. At least we must continue and also influence other departments to say what work it is used for treasury to get additional money. Chair, I just want to pick up on one point that Honourable Dennis has raised in terms of municipalities. There are other departments that said that they can't also go to municipalities because they don't have legal standing to do that work. How do you make, which precepts of the law do you use that for? So I'm raising that question within the school that we would not like municipalities to come here and say that you are having no money, because there will be those arrogant municipalities who may think so, that will say that. So that we can use that one, or you are doing that as a pilot, as a case study, as it may. And also, your presentation, I thought also in terms of the plan, you were going, in terms of your programs, to take advantage that SA now is housed within your department, that you will also say, is there any intended collaboration in other areas, because they have a critical scientific report in terms of their output that can assist you as a department specifically, because also your goal is to cut across all the departments, probably. Maybe you'll reach in 2017-18. I just want to know on that aspect. No, the collaboration with the SSA in terms of their report, whether it's a yearly specific report or five interval report in terms of the figures. So that also we say as a country, are we making any dent in terms of other questions that Madam Ndombele has asked in terms of service delivery, equity in terms of women and people living with disabilities, not only recruiting them, but making sure that they are also economically viable or active in the economic space. In terms of whatever you get that information, that's where I'm coming from. But there are different other areas that I would not necessarily mention. Chair, the second one would be, as you are going to get additional, you've got additional funds in terms of your recruitment, I hope next time coming back you'll give us a plan how to intend turn around equipment of prioritize fund the post, taking lessons from last year. Because there's something that needs to be done, then to speed up that exercise. The other one, Chair, which would be my third point or question or as a recommendation, whether it's up to them how they take it, whether it's additional moving forward, they're going to attend that. I think it's honorable that also the issue of the frontline service delivery monitoring tool. And have we made a difference? I don't want to also to lock myself in terms of the hotline and mail, but also there are other things as moving forward that you can see that, which means the transcripts are not respected in May, in particular by the public, like frontline service personnel. I'll pause there, Chair, and yeah, thank you so much. Before sitting down, Dirk, want to come in?
Yeah. Sorry.
Before that, Velma, you are recognized. I also want to inform you that from now onwards, every hour we have to break for 5 minutes to allow Velma's interpreter to stretch.
Okay, just on that point, are we the meet that today? We have a second interpreter today.
There won't be a meet for that.
So yesterday was the first, so we don't need to break. Thank you very much for that, but we won't need to do that, but we have two interpreters. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Thank you. But let us know as and when you need a break. We'll get you to that.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Chair, for allowing me to come in very, very briefly, because I had already opportunity to speak. I want to raise an issue with the department, and I want to my DA colleagues, I want to, before I even raise it, say, just inform them that I'm not raising this matter to cast any expressions on them or to play politics with the matter that I'm going to raise. Because I know that they're not in agreement with if this thing really happens. So it's nothing in the step on the TA that I want to make it up front. I read an article that in the Western Cape municipality, a quotable share, where the municipality used an extra 1.9 billion rand of a quotable share to give free services for households that do not qualify, the way they're actually using the quotable share. Now, the reason why I'm raising that, I was born a deputy mayor to myself, and I was just thinking, I know that some, maybe other municipalities, ANC municipalities, if they pick this up here, they may also try and manipulate a quotable share. It's very, for politicians, it is very tempting to manipulate the quotable share to give services to people that really is non-qualified. So it's not an issue about the TA. It's not because it happened in the Western Cape. I'm raising it as an issue of the TA. No. Because I don't want to make politics about it. I'm concerned that other municipalities in the country will start manipulating as a quotable share. And we shouldn't allow that to happen as a department. So I think maybe you should go and check on the quotable shares in other municipalities, the ANC-led municipalities, because maybe the same thing could be happening in those ANC-led municipalities too, where people have been, politicians have manipulated the quotable share. Because that money is really for the poorest of the poor. That's why we as national government keep that fund as a quotable share municipality to actually support the poorest of the poor. So that's an issue of great concern that I think the department must really go to all municipalities and monitor it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with you. Honorable Dirks did not have to apologize for anything. It's our job. And in fact, as an opposition, the ANC in the Western Cape has to do that. If they're doing wrong things, they've got to be exposed. Because we pride ourselves in doing the right things all the time. Thank you very much. Just a couple of points. I'm not sure if you are aware that we in the DA believe that the DPME should not exist. We believe it's a half plus. It should not exist as a department. It's a, yes, the DPM. You know who said that. Well, that's where I'm coming to. I'm just making up that story. Because we believe that there is nothing that the DPME is doing at this time that could not be done by the DPSA. In other words, we believe that DPME should have been a program in DPSA. rather than establish a whole ministry which becomes now big and bloated. The cabinet becomes big and bloated. And one of the crises that we had, and you probably remember how Minister Dekhadeva responded to my speech the last time, was that we were crying too much about not having an independent portfolio committee for the DPSA and the DPME. Our view is that if this department is a fully-fledged department, it must have its own independent portfolio committee. And I'm sure, sir, you are aware of it, the pressure that it puts on that. But the point I want to make is this. We, meaning the DA, made the point that because this department was a network department, it will keep on growing and growing and growing until its budget was over a billion. We're getting close to that in another 3 years, and the staff will keep growing and growing. Now we know it's going to be maybe moving from 340 to 500 in about 3 years. We also know something, that as a department, it's not as small as it is as the GSA, it's a very efficient department, because it's, you know, they really have very little to do. And if you want to see where I'm right, check how many times the minister has spoken about DPME in the last 6 months, 12 months, hardly anything. Talks about all other things except his own department. But the point is this. What return on this investment? And to highlight the point, the department itself is a very efficient department. Clean audit, we have heard from DG, and that's good. What we want to do is to make other departments clean audit. Okay? So what is the return on investment on this money, this billion that we're going to be spending shortly on the department to make sure that this thing happens? The other point is the National Development Planning Commission, which also has been moved into this. What, right now, I told you, they're setting a shop, and that's what they should set a shop and stuff like that. What authority do they have in making sure that the plans that they come up with are implemented? We know that these are supposed to be implemented by the departments, and the DPME is supposed to be there to encourage and cajole and plead, and because they can't make people do it. We plead, we manage, we do that kind of thing. So what is the return on investment? Why are we spending a billion rand on what could have been a little small department to coordinate the work of this DPSME to make sure that these things that we say have to be done are done? Why do we have to have the whole department to do that? Because it could be done elsewhere, probably more efficiently. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Two questions. Related to the hotline, presidential hotline, my constituency of deaf people. If I explain to the department and we talk about the hotline, people will say, look, we cannot phone that hotline. Is it possible to, in whatever way, to make that hotline accessible? Does that include an SMS hotline? Does it include an email hotline? So it's not just a telephone with voice. See, deaf people in the constituency or everywhere do not have an interpreter with them every day at their house, for example. So they cannot pick up a phone and voice dial the hotline. I would like to, you know, SMS the hotline or email the hotline. Can we just look into that, please? My second question relates to the DPME, how the collaboration between you and SAT-SA. For example, if you want to find out how many children drop out of school, and you want a number, how does that go through to SAT-SA? Is that question directly asked like that? So just to see on a practical level how things like that work. Thank you.
Thank you. The recruitment of people with disabilities still coming up 20 years, 22 years. Okay, thanks. President?
Thank you, Chair. I hope you've seen that between myself and my colleague Mutar, we don't have a private line here, but we speak or have to share the same concerns. That's it. That's right. Thank you. Chair, can I just say, we've learned in the budget a few weeks ago that the numbers of people in But the public service will have to be managed quite well over the next few years, because our spend on particularly the salary part has become just far too big, and that there will be a shift towards capital spending, the building of new infrastructure and so on, and a lesser emphasis on the salary expenditure. Now, on the first, on the one hand, I want to congratulate the department, because obviously they've been able to convince Treasury of the value of this department. But my concern is the duplication of monitoring. One of the key elements in the classic definition of management, which includes planning, organizing, leadership, is control. Nowadays, it's politically better to say monitoring and evaluation, but it should come down to the same thing. So, now, I am concerned, and we've seen it in some instances, the police, for example, that if there is some wrongdoing in the police, they say, no, call IPED, or take your complaint to IPED. IPED must come and investigate. So, it is my take that the management in police has outsourced a core function of what they should be doing to another body. And we all know that nobody else can eventually come and take over your management role. That you should be fulfilling, and for which you are being appointed as a new role. And my concern is then, on the one hand, that we will now be monitoring some of the Millennium Goals or the strategic goals of government, such as the improvement of basic education and so on, whereas it should be the education department and the heads of education that should be responsible for that monitoring. As a matter of fact, we can waste a lot of energy when people start debating what should be monitored, how should it be monitored. We must now first, get the buy-in from the education on the way in which we want to monitor the services, etc., etc. And we can cause a lot of confusion at the lower levels if different people come and they monitor different aspects of, say, for example, a well-functioning school. There should be cooperation, there should be cohesion, and by coming in as a separate body, there could be confusion, and that could lead to a wastage of resources. Because each position in this department probably equals about two positions in education or in health, etc. So that's my one concern. The second one is, I can see a task for a body such as this, and we believe it doesn't need to be a separate body, in, for example, monitoring the performance of DGs. Because a minister's ability to really, monitor his DG is reliant on the information that he gets from the very same person that he or she must monitor. Then my question is just, have we ever seen a report expressing that some DGs are incompetent, that their contract should not be renewed, that perhaps should be terminated, exit date, etc. And I haven't seen that. So it's a real concern for me that this department may not be adding the value and giving us the value for money that the Minister of Finance has been asking for. The next one is the weaknesses with data measurement. We know that people will give you the data they believe you want. And quite often, just by setting certain standards, you will see over time that the data is improving. If I say, we're going to measure absenteeism amongst teachers, I can assure you, without doing anything more than just measuring, the absentee rate as reported will be going down, just because we've listed that. But it doesn't really say that the outcome, that education, that teaching has improved, that it equates to that. So there's my concern, and that there may be an emphasis, and I believe the late Mr. Chabon quite rightly emphasized that, as one phrase says, that the emphasis may be more on compliance than on the improvement. And if we measure compliance, because to a large extent, I see that in your reports, and so, if we measure the compliance, how many, for example, in the case of the provinces, how many people have submitted their annual declaration of interest? But the question is, has it improved the situation? Has it lowered the level of corruption in the public service? So, I would really appreciate if we can hear today why we must support this budget in terms of the outcomes of this department. Have we got any proof that this department has added value, more value than what it takes away from other priorities in the public service? Thank you.
Is there anything that they can say that will convince you to really support the budget? Because I want you to support the budget.
Yes.
In all fairness, because we all go through this exercise, it looks like we agree in our portfolio committee, but when we get to the broader forum, we break ranks. Sometimes we are really surprised. I don't think, in all fairness, whatever that they can say will really make you support the budget. Because of mainly what your colleague has said, Madao, he's been saying this for as long as I've known him, that he does not see the reason for this department to exist. So once we take that position, once we have that position, I don't see how or what they can say, what is it that they can say that can really make you. I hope that Madao, you have the wisdom. We'll rely on your responses to really convince our colleagues to realize your existence. You know, if people are questioning your existence, you must be very worried. Everywhere you go, you must justify your existence. Well, you go through that as human beings. I don't want to get deeper into that.
So if I can just respond to that first, you will not easily find a better person than Mr. Matsona to confront me. He knows the huge respect that I have for him and that I've felt at one stage he was treated extremely badly by government, and my heart went out to him there. Secondly, our position can change, but we need facts so that we can take it back to our caucus so that we can convince the caucus to change their position. But so the opportunity, the table has been laid for Mr. Matsona to convince us today, so that in 2 weeks from now, we may support the budget. But as I've said, we need concrete evidence of that. Thank you.
Mr. Matsona, give us the wisdom of Solomon. Do you have the wisdom of Solomon?
Yes, sir. That the establishment of monitoring and evaluation from the perspective at which the ANC looked at was that there were problems that required to be addressed, problems which were there before 1994. Remember, we said what kind of a public service do we want. So it was vigilant on the part of the ANC to run the way it is run at the moment. I will cite but a few examples of what is meant by that, what I mean by that. Previously, there was a culture of doing things the way they have always been done, and as opposed to the culture of continuous improvement. If you listen carefully to the input of the general, well, that the DMC keeps on growing. That's continuous improvement, rather than focusing on what we used to do yesterday and we should do it today again. Focusing on activities without assessing the results or impact of the activities. The activities that we do, or the activities that are happening in the public service, their impact has to be monitored if we were to continue going forward. So, those are some of the examples that culminated into the formation of monitoring and evaluation. We're very much aware that it's not going to stagnate, but it's going to improve, it's going to grow, depending on the quality of addressing the problems of the past. Thank you.
Thank you. I think most important here is value for money. People are complaining about that. Whether corruption has lessened, I personally feel that there's accountability, and to a certain extent, corruption is reported. for the mere fact that corruption is reported and the actions that are being taken through the initiatives of the department, I feel that those are some of the things that we really have to really say and have the reason to exist. By then, Honorable Bertelsen, if I there's a team of people in different levels conducting monitoring and evaluation, I personally would not see that as duplication. I would be very sure that the center is holding and accountability is going to improve and they're really going to get a value for money. So I want to also try and convince you on that one today. If other departments are doing that, they are complementing one another. Isn't that what we want? Value for money and accountability. So if we have departments internally establish their own systems in terms of tracking, tracking, improving, service delivery methods, and also have the end department that does it, I think we are moving towards the right direction. But I'll rely on that Maduna to give us the wisdom of Solomon. Over to you, Dr. Maduna.
No, thank you very much, Chair and Honorable Members, for the questions that you've raised. I will be assisted by my colleagues on some of them. I think it might be useful to start with the issues that are raised by Honorable Trustees and in that way, thank you for your kind words. I think the issue is whether the EPSA would be adequate to meet the requirement for a strong monitoring and evaluation capacity at the center of government. Because this sort of thing is not invention of South Africa. So the department, as it was set up, modeled itself in relation to other jurisdictions. This is both in the developed world, for example, in the UK, the Prime Minister's office has got a facility to monitor what happens in the rest of government. You have the same thing in the United States. You have the same thing in the developing countries, of the BRICS countries as such. Of course, the specific structure will depend on the conditions and the decisions that are taken. In our country, the decision was to establish a department that was firstly called performance monitoring, but now has incorporated aspects of planning. And I think correctly so, because you must monitor what you plan. And so we need to really recalibrate the way that government works so that when we monitor, we must base that on what we have planned to do in the first instance. Now, as you can see, the dispensation did not imagine that neat way. So monitoring and evaluation was started earlier or separately from the work around planning. And now we are bringing that together. And in that transition, I can then understand your skepticism, because in that transition, it might not be really clear. But I think the vision is very clear. We want a structure within the sort of government that will guide the planning in government, so that we plan to do things that will bring out change. The change that we desire, the change that our constitution enjoins of us to bring about, to change the lives of our people, that we plan, that our plans have the credibility, robust, and can be measured to achieve that. In truth, it has not always been the case. So we kind of assume that, as you said, broad policy, that departments will plan accordingly. But we've learned 20 years down the line that it does not, it's not even the capacity to plan to do the right things. It's not easily available, and that we need to cultivate it. Some of the right things will take our time, but in the end, I think we will look back and see that it was worth the investment. And by the way, it's a small investment. Look, our government deploys in any 3 years, and currently we have 4 trillion rand that is committed in the administration to do various things. You should, that's what you should be asking about. What is this 4 trillion buying us? That's the fundamental question. So the under 1 billion rand that we're spending in this department holds ultimately to leverage 4 trillion. And that is the philosophy that we are applying, to say we're going to monitor 4 trillion of programs. If we succeed even 3% to unlock values, it's a great thing for the country. Because otherwise, you know, this money is spent and we don't see the results of it. I think you know that. So I'm personally, and having spent 20 years in government, I'm convinced that there is value in a place that says, firstly, if you plan correctly, and are you implementing? If you're not implementing, what are your problems? How can we work with you to overcome those problems? And the number of instruments that we are deploying are beginning to put the spotlight on departments. And by the way, the DPHA as well have acknowledged that they on their own cannot perform this function. They have a role to play clearly. They set a nonsense standard for the public service and that. And they play a very important regulatory role. But with regards to looking at programs, they look at the people. But it's not just about people. It's about people, it's about systems, and it's about processes. On the processes, and let's speak really to what coordination, are we coordinating and that type of thing, they don't have that capacity. And I think they're happy that we work with them. Even for example, instruments like MPET, they accept that it helps to identify weaknesses and challenges them as a department as well, in regard to regulating the recruitment processes and the you know how the adverts that we put out so that we attract the right sort of people. And of course, as you can see, an intervention that is very important to help convert, develop our people to be the sort of public servants that are committed and capable is a national school of government, which is going to develop a number of courses. Because relative to other jurisdictions, I don't think we pay sufficient attention in training and developing and grooming the kind of public servants that you need. And here that leads me to responsiveness. Because if we train them well, if we train our public servants well, that they understand that what they do, that the future of the country, that the needs of our people depend on what they do. So, if we train them that, then there won't be a problem of responsiveness. So someone sits with an invoice, and they put it in their desk or in their drawer. They forget about it. The service provider keeps calling and calling. No, you're not my priority today. I will come back to you. Meanwhile, the person is suffering. The people that he has employed on the promise of this opportunity are not paid, and the value is destroyed in the process. Because when you actually check, yes, it's a problem for the payment systems, you know, having a system of logging in, invoices, and so on. Switzerland has got an excellent system which we are taking now and promoting to say, you know, when you don't have a system, well, you know, the system is working. So don't go now and got other consultants and spend money. Apply this thing. So it is about systems, but that's also about the attitude of the servants, public servants. So you see, walk in departments on a corridor and hear the phones ringing and ringing and ringing, and people are worrying about other things. So we still have a long way to change the culture of the public service. I think we took it for granted that the public service was aligned to the policies and development agenda of the government of the day. We took it for granted. It requires interventions, and our department, working clearly with DPSA and others, we have to intervene. I don't think that if you don't have this department, I don't think you have any facility whatsoever to monitor and help with the improving the performance of government. And the department is a young department. I'm confident, you know, when I see some of the progress we're making on the 30-day payment, and I'll come back and see some detail around that. When I see the work we're doing with municipalities, working with the cooperative government department to look at practices, unattended practices that are going on there, and where are the gaps, and beginning to propose interventions like Back to Basics. It's also a very new program, but it's got a lot of promise. So these things are not going to be tensed overnight, but we require that we are focused. And our challenge is to capacitate ourselves so we are focused and we can demonstrate that it's possible that there are results in these areas. And now that I know that the chair has had this skepticism about the relevance of this department, we're talking about our plans now. So when we report, when you call us to come and report, we will do so with a focus on where we think we're achieving, and those achievements would not be realized without a department such as ours. So it's only maybe 5 years of this department. Too early, I believe, to suggest that you know, there's no value in doing something like this. Now, let me speak to 30-day payments. So as we speak, as at the end of December, the amount of invoices that were not paid were 13,000 invoices, a value of 147 million rand were paid after 10 days. This was compared to the end of October, 16,000 invoices to the value of 455. So there is an improvement.
part of this improvement is as a result of the interventions of our department. However, as you see, as of December, 8,000 invoices to the value of 103 million rand that were not paid by national departments. And the department, the reading department, has got 313 million rand not of invoices that are that not being paid. However, it is commendable to note that 14 national departments, of the 14 national departments, 23 of them have zero invoices that have not been paid. And they are maintaining the trend. So I think that from advocacy, from making big fuss about this, I think that many departments are responding positively. Problem in the provinces. Invoices that have not been paid at the value of 2.8 billion. This is by at the end of October 2015. One province accounts for 1.6 billion. Turns out to be Gauteng, which is the center of commerce, ironically. And then, of course, some departments, now we've named the department, the leading department, we might as well mention the leading department, which is Public Works, Department of Public Works. So we have the recent success, we have 44 service providers who have called the department, and through our interventions we were able to, in the recent period, to unblock 42 million, and that's, as I said, where we call all parties concerned, and especially where it's just incompetence, you know, unresponsiveness, and not much more serious problems. In some instances, you know, it's cash flow problems. In some instances, it could be corruption, where someone says, well, look, we'll have to meet at the McDonald's and we can talk about this, your problem. I can assist. But you know, you have to wash my hands. Yes. So we are trying to be on the lookout for instances like that. But remember also, services that are given the back of a contract, sometimes it's poorly formulated contracts that don't clarify the obligations of the parties concerned. And in some of the cases, I mean, there is some complexity. Some issues, the service providers, the problem lies with service providers in regard to transmitting of the invoices, because we have to pay. PFMA says you pay only on the back of a valid invoice, and it's an invoice that must have all the relevant information in your tax clearance and tax clearance number and all of those things. So I think we are making progress in this area. The hotline is just a call. There is also a facility for emails. The email address is simply president@PO, stands for President's Office, .gov.za. That's the email address. president@po.gov.za. The
issue of local, local government, I think clearly our ambition is that at a certain point, with a capacity, we will cover all municipalities. We've identified a limited number, which are really ones that are in bad shape. The municipalities that have truly dysfunctional. And we're working with COFTA to go in there and see how we work with those municipalities to address the range of problems, you know, involving systems, people, and governance more generally, to assist them to turn around. Now, I think problem is too big. So, you know, like the elephant, you have to eat it, you know, once at a time. So let's see what we are able to achieve with those who are targeted, what lessons we've learned. And then the rest will tackle with a much greater sense of confidence. I think with limited resources, but we need between the health and COFTA, we will not be able to tackle all of them at the same time. So it's just an approach, not an end in itself that we'll just do 10 minutes or walk away. The issue of mining towns, revitalization of mining towns, I think is a classical problem of challenge of coordination, share, and you know, I do not at this stage have any information about success in relation to any other area other than Marikana. I think that what we were able to achieve at Marikana was because it was a high profile case where the experiences of violence and the tragedy served to concentrate the minds of all of the departments that were involved in delivering what we were able to deliver. But even there, it was difficult to pull together all of the departments, but we succeeded in that instance, and I'm hoping that success can be replicated. The problem is that this is a mandate, it's a diffuse mandate. It's not a mandate of any one department. It's not a mandate only of the Department of Mineral Resources or Human Settlement or Rural Development or Trade and Industry. It is a mandate of all of us, all of those departments. Now, because you will not find it in the plans of those departments as a specific responsibility, it tends to disappear from their radar screen. And you know, we lobby, we advocate, we cajole, as been said, but for these typical things, that's not a general mandate, that's what you have to do. Fortunately, we have a ministerial committee, and our minister is a convener. And I know that there's a meeting of the committee that's coming up. It's my first time to participate in the committee to understand how it actually works. But at my level, I am chasing those DGs today that we must keep the momentum going. So we've got to keep trying, and hopefully when we come, we will present an update on progress with regard to other areas that we're working at. My colleague here will talk to successes around Pagisa. I think the Oceans Economy Pagisa, which is the first of these Pagisa initiatives, is moving very well. There are tangible results that are beginning to show. it's got quite a lot of a wide range of activities and interventions, some of which are still to be undertaken. But those that have been, there is a quantifiable benefits that are there. How we interface with municipalities and what is our mandate with regard to municipalities? I think that there is one interpretation of our mandate that, in my view, should open doors for us and does open doors for us, and that is that we are responsible for monitoring performance on behalf of the president. So no part of government should be out of our bounds, as it were. One area, for example, where Treasury are keen that we assist them is in the area of state-owned companies. So we've got to figure out how we do that, because some of those state-owned companies have got a reporting department, a reporting conservative authority. But strictly speaking, no part of government should be out of bounds for that. As it turns out, because words put around that we are assisting and are working with us very helpfully and so on, some municipalities are actually calling on us. So we are being invited to assist with sharing lessons of success with regard to how we can turn around the governance of municipalities. I'm very excited about the potential of our cooperation with SSA. So the Secretary General and I have agreed to work together to identify a cross-set of key statistical indicators of performance with regard to implementation of our plans and the priorities, as it were. So there should be, at least in terms of the key areas of outcome, let's say education. You know, we should be able to define what are the indicators. When we know that we're making progress, what are the key indicators? It can't be everything. It can't be absenteeism, results, metric results, and number of schools, textbooks. Some of those part of our system of governance, and I agree, monitoring, there must be other levels of monitoring. Other levels of monitoring will take care of themselves, but we identify critical ones that are overarching. That helps us to determine. Because we are spending quite a lot of money of our national budget. The majority, two-thirds of our national budget goes to two areas, health and education, which are in line with NDP, critical for building human capabilities for us to develop as a country. But quality and outcomes and results have a long way to go. And so we should be looking at those areas. And there is a project for recruitment, making sure that we quickly concentrate the department, we overcome the vacancy rates, and we bring in critical talents, critical skills that are going to assist us. Now, Honorable Fernandez will know one major big profile area that has, where we have as a country suffered because we took it for granted, is with regard to capacity, electricity capacity in the country, where all the concepts are delayed. And there was no place that sounded a warning to say these things are delayed. By the time we woke up, there were way too delayed, and we are paying a price because the budget has skyrocketed from the original budget. So major infrastructure projects in the country that expend huge amounts of money must be subjected to an independent monitoring and evaluation. So we still have a lot of infrastructure built. One critical area is water infrastructure. And there again, we are going to be looking at that area to see how we assist that department and government to have better grasp of what's going on there and how we can overcome the challenge. I'm going, perhaps this is the point where I ask my colleagues to quickly add one or two things to say.
Okay, thank you, Udiji, and Chairperson and honorable members. Just to add on what DG already alluded to on progress being made in mining towns, we always produce reports on progress that is being made, and mainly these reports serve in the IMC. So our department provides mainly secretarial services. Those reports can be made available to see the overall picture of the progress that we're making. With regards to the question about the impact that the operation practice on the economy is making, you know that the President last week Friday was in PE giving a progress report about what has been achieved. Bearing in mind that the project is mainly long-term, and that studies have been done to look at the potential of the ocean economy, and it is estimated that it has the potential of generating about 177 billion. So far, from the progress that we have made since the launch of Operation Pakisa, about 4,500 jobs have been created. And an investment of about 50 billion has already been committed from the private sector. So there too, we have a system that records progress on all these operation packages that we have. And also to highlight that not all the operation packages are mainly about job creation. Some are about the improvement of the way in which we do things. Typical example will be that of the ideal clinic. The intention there is to say, how do we improve delivery of health services using this methodology? I'll pause the chair. I don't think there's any other thing that I need to respond to. Oh, I thought DJ responded to that we have a project plan to fast-track recruitment. And I know there was reference to the recruitment of people with disability in the department. We and women. We do have an equity plan in place, and every time when we do recruitment, we take that into account. The latest information that we have at our disposal is that we were slightly behind in terms of recruiting people with disability. And as we move forward with the implementation of our recruitment program, we'll be taking that into account. We have just recently appointed a new head of HR who will be seized with that responsibility to ensure that as we recruit, we make sure that we meet the targets that set out in our employment equity plan. There was also maybe the issue about our role with regard to delivery agreements. as it relates to directors general. We have recently, if you look at our presentation, you see that we are saying we have recently acquired that function, which was mainly with the Public Service Commission. And we are hoping that in the current financial year, we'll be fully taking that function with the assistance of DPSA, because certain requirements have to be met before we can fully take responsibility for that function. And of course, as we have highlighted in the presentation, we're saying that the performance agreements of HODs and directors general should be aligned with the targets and priorities as outlined in the NDP and the NTSF. And that goes to the performance agreements between the President and his ministers. So hopefully as we move forward, we'll be giving you a progress report about those areas as highlighted. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The follow-up question from Manisoma.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. It's just a minor issue in terms of people living with disability. As a DMME, I think you need to move a step further in terms of with the work that you are doing also with the education. That schools, higher learning institutions, in choices of professionals and subject at school level should be geared for the country to absorb those ones, because it cannot be automatic. I'm not saying that they don't have skills, I haven't done that study, but I'm just saying that moving forward to create a new layer of a cater or economic active people living with disabilities. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for the comments.
Thank you.
Just an aside, we make a follow-up on that. I think those who are Catholics would definitely agree that Mr. Martina needs to be possessed by Wisdom of Solomon. For the mere fact that his treasury gave you more allocations during the testing time when everyone is requested to tighten the belt, it simply means that your job is valuable and the reason for your existence. We'll pause for now and break for 5 minutes and allow NYDA to set up. I also want to recognize and welcome Honorable Mwabe, who joined us this evening. 5 minutes break. Thank you.